My name is Mona Tarian, and today I'm going to talk about the notorious problem of configuration troubleshooting and our latest effort to automate this process a little bit. Okay, as you all know, software systems are very difficult to configure and manage. You have to install them correctly, you have to upgrade them correctly, you have to upgrade all the libraries that they might need, you have to set all the correct configuration values everywhere in the system. Another unfortunate fact is that users also make a lot of mistakes. And that's not just normal computer users. System admins also make a lot of mistakes. The combination of these two facts, systems being very difficult to configure and users making a lot of mistakes all the time, lead to misconfigurations. Misconfigurations happen all the time in software systems. And when they happen, they cause a lot of frustration. They're very tedious and time-consuming to fix, and they're also very costly. Apart from the time that they take from the system admins and tech support people, they also may lead to problems like service unavailability or server downtime, things like that. So what can we do about this? So let's first take a look at how we deal with misconfigurations right now. So let's say I have an application, and somewhere in one of the configuration files, I've set a bogus value, and because of that, my software is not working. So what do I do? First, I'll look at the error messages and the log messages, try to figure out if I can find the root cause of the problem. Unfortunately, most of the time, these messages are insufficient to lead me to the root cause. So what do I do next? I ask my colleagues to see if they've seen something similar. I go online, search in manuals, forums, frequently asked question pages to see if somebody else has seen something similar. And if worse comes to worse, I might actually take a look at the code, if the code is available, to see what is causing the problem. I personally find this process very time-consuming and tedious, and it also involves a lot of trial and error. So I ask myself, wouldn't it be great if we had a tool that could automatically find the root cause of the misconfiguration? And my answer to that question is Confate. Confate is a tool that automatically identifies the root cause of a misconfiguration in the software's configuration file. The insight behind Confate is that we believe that the application code already has enough information about what is causing the problem. However, the application code is like a black box. We don't have access to all this information unless we open up the black box and look under the hood. And that's what exactly Confate does. Confate uses dynamic information flow analysis to open up the black box of the application. It analyzes the application as it runs, and at the end, it links the erroneous behavior that the application is exhibiting back to the configuration parameters that are causing it. So let's go back to the user and see how the user would actually use Confate. So again, let's say I have an application. It reads from a configuration file, and it runs for a while, and an error happens at the end. So instead of going online, asking colleagues, et cetera, I would just simply run this within Confate. Confate will automatically analyze the flow of information inside the application as it runs from the point where the configuration file is read till the point where the error happens, and then it generates a list of likely root causes for the problem. So now as a user, I can simply take this list and go directly to the configuration options that are in error instead of looking at all possible options. Okay. Here's the outline of my talk. First, I'm going to talk about the basic mechanics of Confate. Then I'm going to talk about the algorithms that we use for information flow analysis. After that, I'm going to describe to you the heuristics that we use to make these algorithms more practical for our use case. I'll briefly talk about evaluation, and then I'll conclude. Okay. So let's say I have an application. It reads something from the configuration file. It sets some variables, and later at the end, an error happens. So if I'm a developer, how would I find the root cause of this error? I'd probably do something like this. I look at the error, I'll find out that the error is happening because a variable called executeCGI, for instance, is set to 1. I'll go back a little bit and find out that executeCGI is 1 because a variable called token is equal to string execCGI, for instance. I'll go back a little bit further and find out that this token is actually read from the file, the configuration file, of course. So I'll conclude that the error is happening because the configuration file contains a token called execcgi. So to summarize this, to debug this as a developer, I would start from the error, go backward, link these dependencies until I get to the root cause. So Confate is interested in the same type of dependencies. However, it takes a different approach. First of all, it does a top-down analysis instead of the bottom-up that the developer does. And it also uses chain tracking to find these dependencies. So here's how it works. When the application reads something from the configuration file, Confluent assigns a specific taint to the token that's read. Then it uses data flow and control flow to propagate this taint throughout the application as it runs. And at the end, when the error happens, it uses this taint to link the error back to the configuration token that caused it. So the idea of Confluent is to find potential execution path that would avoid the error and won't themselves lead to other errors. So for instance, here we have three conditionals, A, B, and C, and each one of them is tainted by a configuration token. I'm going to use colored triangles throughout this talk to show different taints. For instance, here, A is tainted by the blue triangle, which means that Confluent believes that the value of A is dependent on the blue token. So in other words, if the value of the blue configuration token changes, Confluent believes that the value of A might change too. So here, we'd like to know which one of these configuration options could be the root cause of this error at the end. So the blue configuration token cannot be the root cause. The reason is that even if you change the blue token, and even if you make the application to take the alternate path in that first branch, because the first branch ends before the error happens at the end, it doesn't matter which way the application goes, we would still go to the same error. So the blue configuration token cannot be the root cause. The red configuration token cannot be the root cause either. Because even if you change the red token, and even if you make the application to go the other way, it will avoid the original error. However, it will lead to some other error. And that's not good either, because we don't want to just avoid the error and lead to some other error. We want to have a successful run. So the red token cannot be a root cause either. The green token, however, can be a possible root cause. The reason is that it can successfully avoid the error and won't lead to some other error at the end. And that's what Confluent would return as a possible root cause. All the tokens that, if modified, there will be a potential path that would avoid the error and won't lead to other errors. And this is, for instance, our potential successful path for this example. Okay. So now I'm going to talk about the algorithms that we use for information flow analysis. So let me explain to you our notation here. T of x is the taint set of variable x. It contains all the configuration tokens that if the value of each of them changes, the value of x might change too. Confluent uses data flow and control flow to propagate taint. Here's a simple example of data flow. X is equal to y plus z. So if anything can change the value of y or the value of z, it can possibly change the value of x too. So if taint of y is the red token and the blue token, and taint of z is the green token and the blue token, taint of x is going to be the union of these two. Unlike many taint tracking systems, Confluent uses control flow to propagate taint as well. In fact, we realize that control flow is pretty essential for Confluent's purpose. So let's take a look at this example on the left. We would like to know what could cause the value of x to be different after the branch ends. So of course, if the value of A is different, the value of X would be different too. And that's because of the data flow of that assignment. What else? If the value of C changes, the application might not take that branch, and that would change the value of X. So the value of X is dependent on the value of the condition of the branch. And that's propagation of taint through control flow. There's another subtle way that we could possibly change the value of X, and that is that we first change the value of the conditional so the application doesn't take that branch, and at the same time, we change the previous value of x too, so the value of x will be different after the branch ends. Note that both the green token and the blue token need to change at the same time to make this difference in the value of x. Control flow propagates taint in another subtle way, and that's through the code that is not executed. Here's an example on the left. The value of y depends on the condition C, although the application doesn't take the else branch. The reason is that if we change the value of C, and if the application actually takes the else branch, the value of y would be different at the end. We call this propagation of taint through alternate path, and Confluent is interested in finding these dependencies as well. However, if you remember, I mentioned that Confate would analyze the application as it runs, and the application in its normal execution doesn't run that else branch. So how can Confate find out about variables like y in the alternate path? Here's what Confate does. When the application runs and it encounters a tainted conditional like C here, Confate will take a checkpoint, and then it flips the result of the conditional and make the application to take the alternate path. The application runs in the alternate path, and Confate learns about variables like y that are assigned in this path. And when the path end, the alternate path ends, Confate will roll back all the changes, restore the checkpoint, and the application will continue normally. So now let's see how Confate assigns taints to variables like y that are set in the alternate path. So we basically would like to know what will cause the value of y to be different after the branch ends. So of course, if the previous value of y is different, the value would be different when the branch ends. Remember that the application doesn't run the else branch. If the value of the condition C changes, as I mentioned in the previous slide, we might be able to make the application to take the else branch, and that could possibly change the value of y. There's another subtle way to change the value of y, too. First, we need to change the value of C to make the application to run the else branch, and then, at the same time, change the value of A so the value of y would be different at the end. Note that both the green token and the red token need to change at the same time to provide this term. All right. So now I'm going to talk about the heuristics that we use to make these algorithms practical for Confate. So we basically realized that a very strict information flow analysis is not very practical for two reasons. First, it leads to a poor performance because computationally it's very expensive. And second, it leads to high false positive rate. In other words, Confate would identify the root cause, but the list that it would return would usually be very large. So we came up with three different heuristics to fix these problems. The first two heuristics improve the performance of Confate, and the last heuristic reduces the false positive rate. All of these heuristics have disadvantages as well. For instance, all of them may lead to false negatives, and some of them may lead to other types of false positives as well. In the next few slides, I'm going to talk about these heuristics and their advantages and disadvantages. Okay, our first heuristic is bounded horizon heuristic. Bounded horizon heuristic prevents path explosion when Confate is running the alternate path. With this heuristic, Confate only runs a fixed number of instructions in the alternate path, and when this maximum is reached, even if the end of the branch is not reached yet, Confate would roll back and the application would continue normally. Bounded horizon heuristic improves the performance of Confate by preventing Confate from being stuck in very deep alternate paths. However, because it aborts the alternate path early, it may lead to false negatives and false positives. Our second heuristic is single mistake heuristic. Similar to many systems in this field, Confate simplifies its analysis by assuming that there is only one single mistake in the configuration file. So if there are multiple mistakes, Confate may or may not report all of them as possible root causes, and the user might have to run Confate multiple times to get all of the options. So let's take a look at this example from our control flow to see how this heuristic simplifies analysis. So with this heuristic, we can eliminate this last term, because this last term needs two options, the green and the blue options, to change at the same time. But with this heuristic, we are basically assuming that there is only one single option in the configuration file that needs to change. So as you can see, single mistake heuristic can reduce the amount of taint in the application and can potentially reduce the number of explored paths. So last heuristic, which is also our most important heuristic, is weighting heuristic. The goal of weighting heuristic is to reduce the false positive rate. So when we initially designed Confate, we kind of treated all types of taint propagations equally. And we also treated taint in like a binary fashion. A variable was either tainted by a token or not tainted by a token. There was nothing in between. Later we realized that this is actually insufficient. For instance, we observed that data flow usually introduces a stronger dependency compared to control flow. And also, we observed that branches that are closer to the error are usually more important and more relevant to the error than the branches that are farther from the error. However, our initial design of Confit could not capture these different strength levels. So to fix this problem, we decided to assign weights to taints as they propagate. So our taints are no longer binary values, but they have numerical values attached to them that show how strong Confit thinks they are. So here's an example of our weighting heuristic. Here we have three conditionals, x, y, and z, and the error happens at the end. Each of these conditionals is tainted by a different configuration token, and all of these configuration tokens can be possible root causes. However, with weighting heuristic, Confit is going to assign a higher weight to the green token compared to the blue token, because the conditional that is tainted by the green token is closer to the error compared to the conditional that is dependent on the blue token. And then the same story for the blue token and the red token. So as you can see here, Confit is able to rank these options now, according, of course, to their weights, with the option that has a higher weight being ranked first, which means that it's probably more relevant and probably more likely to be the root cause. Okay, so here's a review of our heuristics. We talked about bounded horizon heuristic. Bounded horizon heuristic improves the performance of Confit by preventing path explosion. However, because it aborts the alternate path exploration early, it may lead to false negatives and false positives. Single mistake heuristic improves the performance of Confit and reduces the false positive rate by assuming that the configuration file only contains a single mistake. However, if there are multiple mistakes in the file, this may lead to false negatives. And weighting heuristic reduces the false positive rate. However, if the logic of the application does not follow our observation behind weighting heuristic, it may lead to false negatives. So one more thing that I'd like to mention here is that Confit also supports multi-process applications. So if the application has multiple processes and these processes communicate with each other via IPC channels, Confit is able to analyze all these processes and propagate taint via these channels. Currently, Confit supports communication via Unix sockets, TCP and UDP sockets, pipes, and regular files. So I'm going to briefly talk about evaluation. We use Confit to debug misconfigurations in three applications. OpenSSH that run two processes, Apache HTTP server that run a single process, and PostFix mail transfer agent that run up to six processes. To evaluate Confit, we manually injected errors to the configuration files of these applications, and then we ran them within Confit to see, first of all, how well Confit can rank the correct root cause, and second, how long it takes for Confit to come up with the ranking. We used two different approaches to generate the configuration errors. With the first approach, we looked at the real-world configuration errors. So we looked at manuals, forums, and frequently asked questions to see what kind of configuration problems users have had with these applications. We created a total of 18 bugs using this approach. In our second approach, we randomly generated configuration bugs. We used a tool called Confair from EPFL that randomly generates bugs that are close to human mistakes. And we created a total of 60 bugs using this approach. The result of Confit was excellent. Confit was able to rank the correct root cause first or second for all the real-world bugs that we tried. So more specifically, in 72% of the cases, Confit was able to rank the correct root cause first. And in the remaining 28%, the correct root cause was ranked second. And in some of the cases, for instance, the Apache ones, the option that was ranked first was also relevant to the bug and could also help the user. And Confit never ranked the correct root cause worse than second. The result for randomly generated bugs was great, too. Confit was able to rank the correct root cause first or second for 55 out of 60 randomly generated bugs. So more specifically, for 85% of the bugs, Confit ranked the correct root cause first. For 7%, the correct root cause was ranked second. And for 8%, 5 of the cases, the correct root cause was ranked worse than second. So we have more details in the paper on why Confit did not work very well for these cases. To summarize that, for 4 of these cases, Confit could not come up with a ranking because of incomplete implementation. So we believe that if we have more implementation, we'll be able to cover these cases. And for one of them, the Apache one, the correct root cause was ranked 9th, and that was a direct result of our rating heuristic. So basically, this Apache case did not quite follow the observation that we had behind the rating heuristic. Config runs in a very reasonable amount of time. The average execution time for real-world bugs is 1 minute and 32 seconds, with Apache being the slowest, taking up to 3 minutes. And the average time for running the randomly generated bugs is 23 seconds. And the reason that it's lower than the real-world bugs is that the randomly generated bugs are usually simpler, and therefore they manifest faster. Okay, to conclude, I introduced to you Config today. Config is a tool that automatically identifies the root cause of a problem in the software's configuration file. Config uses dynamic information flow analysis to open up the black box of the application, to analyze the application as it runs, and to link the erroneous behavior that the application is exhibiting back to the configuration tokens that are causing it. The result of Config was great. Config is able to rank the correct root cause first or second in 18 out of 18 real-world bugs that we tried, and 55 out of 60 randomly generated bugs. And Config only takes a few minutes to run. So compared to manual troubleshooting, we believe that Config is simpler, it's faster, it's cheaper, and it's definitely far less frustrating. Thank you very much, and happy to take questions now.
I was just wondering how you handle external input of various types or output. In particular, you mentioned that you do some, for alternative path exploration, that you do some speculative execution and rollback. And then if you're trying that in OpenSSH, you can't necessarily roll back data sent over the network.
Okay, so that's a good question. If the application tries to externalize something when we are running in the alternate path, we would abort the alternate path there because we don't want to, you know, do something that we can't roll back, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the same question regarding the input in the first place, how do you identify what portion of the program's input consists of reading from the configuration file and divided up by configuration statement? Do you do that entirely via automated means, or do you need to manually say this program reads from etc, SSH, SSH config, that kind of thing?
So what we do is that we just intercept the call that reads from the file, and from that point on, we would just, whenever something is read from the file, we would assign the taint and go with that. So we don't really have to find out what part of the code is doing, you know, configuration parsing or anything like that. We don't need to do that. It just automatically happens.
So to some extent, it doesn't have to be configuration that you're reading from at all. It could be some other form of data that the program is reading, and you can track it to, I saw this data and it made me act incorrectly, even if the user didn't configure it that way.
Yeah. So so basically, it can be any kind of data that is read. It can be configured. So if the user says that this is my configuration data, as long as the user thinks that that's configuration, we can you know, go with that. We can propagate taint from there.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gonchan from Intel Labs, Berkeley. Interesting work.
I
have two questions. First, have you thought about using program slicing? So instead of just doing forward flow analysis, you can do backward flow analysis from the error point, right? Or combining both forward flow analysis and backward flow analysis?
Okay, that's an interesting question. So the question is whether we can do the same thing with program slicing, right? So I think it would be much more difficult. The reason is that, so program slicing, what it does is that if it does backward analysis, it goes from the error and goes up to the point where things are started, right? We observe that usually what applications do is that they read the configuration at the very, very beginning, and then they run for a while, and they do all crazy things, and then the error happens somewhere. For instance, for postfix, there was one of the processes that would read the configuration file, and it would then spawn off a whole bunch of other processes, and the error would happen in one of those other processes. So I think it would be kind of probably not very practical to do program slicing. Another point is that I think program slicing would probably cause a lot of false positives because we are only looking at a certain number of taints here. You're not looking at all possible variables. We only propagate those, so it's more contained. If you use program slicing, you have to consider every variable That's even worse if you want to do forward analysis, because you don't know, you know, which one of these are going to be in error later, right?
Sure.
So I think it's probably going to be less practical.
Yeah, but combining both might make sense. For example, if you do some kind of backward flow analysis at the bottom, you may not need some kind of weighting heuristic, for example, because you can track exactly. That's one point. And another question I have is, have you thought about using your technique for other kind types of errors in addition to configuration errors?
What type?
For example, you have this error condition that stack fault, for example, or
you could. I think it's quite possible. We are looking at configuration problems here. Usually, configuration errors won't lead to stack faults, things like that. But the technique could work there too.
Okay. Thanks.
Hi, Alice Chang from Microsoft Research. Really enjoyed your talk.
Okay.
And my question is a kind of a sanity check question for the evaluation section. Are all of the bugs that you dealt with single mistake bugs?
Huh, I knew someone would ask this question. yeah, so let me put this up.
And how common do you think those kind of bugs are in the real world?
Yeah, so we did not, so in the real world, bugs that we tried, we did not look at the ones that had multiple mistakes in them. In some cases, config may return all of them as possible root causes. However, it won't be able to tell that you have to change these two. It would say A and B. It won't be able to say A and B at the same time needs to change, right? For the randomly generated ones, we don't have a very good way of creating bugs that are multiple mistakes, and the mistakes are kind of relevant. Because if the mistakes are not relevant, you know, the application would probably fail when it sees the first mistake, and we won't get to the second one. And config is able to tell you the first one, and then you fix that, and you run until you get to the second one. So we didn't have a good way of randomly generating multiple mistakes either. So I don't have any hard evidence to show that if multiple mistakes are more common than single mistake. However, I mean, according to the manuals and, you know, the forums that we looked at, many of the mistakes were just a single mistake. And we didn't search really hard to find these, you know, 18 errors. It was pretty common. Although I can imagine that there could be cases where there are multiple mistakes and it could be really difficult too. As a future work, we are trying to relax this restriction and allow config to find multiple mistakes as well.
Thank you.
Jian Zhang, Intel Lab, Seattle. I'm wondering whether you could comment on a little more on the performance overhead. So, you know, this dynamic tent analysis notoriously really, you know, slowing down the applications, right? And since this detecting error case, since users would not know when this error would happen, has to run this config all the time, right? So do you have any sort of things to add in terms of, you know, the performance overhead, whether it's proportional to program size, or, you know, are there anything that you did to reduce overhead?
That's an excellent point. So dynamic information flow analysis is a slow. I think our overhead is about 100 to 200x slowdown. And we didn't really optimize much, but it won't be very, you know, much faster than that. If you have a problem that happens very far in the execution, you have to run for, you know, many minutes before you get to that point. Unfortunately, it will take, you know, proportionally to come up with this ranking that config does. Another point is that you won't do this online. So if you, when you see that your application is not working, you would use this as an offline debugging system. You would just run it again and, you know, let it run for a while and until the error happens. So you wouldn't run this online in the deployed system.
I see. Okay. Thanks.
Vovo Kuznetsov, IPFL. I really enjoyed the talk. It's great. And I have a question about how tool handles the syntax of the configuration file. So does it able to automatically infer the syntax, or you need some a priori knowledge of it?
I'm sorry, you have to ask one more time and louder.
So does config require any a priori knowledge of the syntax of the configuration file?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
No, we don't need to know the syntax. Actually, for instance, OpenSSH has like a option value syntax, and Apache has like a more structured syntax. And we were fine with both of them. We didn't do any tuning or anything. I can't imagine cases where if the syntax is very complex, we might have some noise in the result because of the structure. But I think in general, we're going to be fine.
So it looks like you might experience some issues with over-tainting, so that variable is tainted to more configuration directives that it actually depends on. Did you see such issues?
I'm sorry, say that again.
So do you experience any issues with over-tainting of the variables so that a variable in a program is tainted to so that it looks like it depends on more configuration directives than it actually depends on.
So if you have false positives?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I showed in the result that we don't have that much false positive. Actually, our rating heuristic was very effective in reducing the amount of false positives. There are some variables, however, that are usually, they're kind of like a sink for taint. You know, they get tainted by most of this stuff. We didn't have that much problem with that because, fortunately, when error happens, usually it's not because of those variables. And we observed that with the heuristic that we applied, we could control the false positive to a really good level. So.
Okay, thank you.
That answers your question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's thank our speaker.